always a privilege to be here. Let me give a little bit of, what do you call them, announcements? A little, what's going on? As those of you who are on our mailing list have heard, Nancy and I we were in France last of May, 1st of June, and had a tremendous time over there. We got to minister to 29 churches, 12 different denominations in 3 weeks. Now, luckily, it was all in about four different locations, so five, something like that. But that was that in itself was a unique thing, because for a lot of the different churches to come together in one location was very unique. And but they did it. We had anywhere from 8 to 10. Oh, thank you, brother. 8 to 10 churches at a time in one location, anyway. And it was tremendous. We were up in Lille, France, which is up in the north. What would it be? The northeastern part of France, right by. In fact, it's right on the border of France and Belgium. And John and I actually went into Belgium for a Sunday night meeting and back. But anyhow, we had we met the pastor there who just had, wasn't it open heart surgery, Nancy? Yeah, open heart surgery, and had been out of church for like 3 months. But the service that we were there was his first service back, and it was just a tremendous time. And when he first started that church, they had a vision of raising up 10 churches. They actually raised up 12, so now they're in the process of going for 100. And one of the things that happened is I ministered there, and then we turned it over. We was about to close. They said, we have to be done by noon. So 5 minutes to noon, I look at, and I say, oh boy, what am I going to do? So they said, just call up the people want to minister to, or anybody that wants to stay. We'll close the service. Anybody wants to stay, and you can minister to them. I said, I got an idea. I said, I want all the leaders and all the different leaders to come. I didn't know what I was talking about. They lined at least as far as from that wall to that wall, at least that far, husband and wife. And I said, now, John, you go ahead and close the service. And Nancy and I and John's wife, Gloria, we just started ministering to them. And before we were done, we had ministered and prophesied over every one of them. There's probably about 20, 25 of them, something like that. And then after we ministered to them, then we had them turn around and minister to anybody else in the congregation that wanted to come up for special prayer. And one of the last ones that we ministered to was a man. He spoke pretty good English, so I didn't have to have that translated. But he said to me, he says, now I'm from Normandy. He says, I was sent out from this church to Normandy to take over a church. Well, actually, I didn't know any of that. He just said, I just came. I need to hear from God. So I said, well, he did tell me he was from the Normandy area. And I said, well, I said, I can't guarantee you I'll give you a word from the Lord, but I will tell you that I will pray for you. And if God gives me anything, I'll be glad to give it to you. And so I began praying for him. And I said, wait a minute. You said you're from Normandy? He said, yes. I said, isn't that where D-Day started? He said, yes. I said, the problem is the fighting is still going on. World War II, the fighting came from England, hit Normandy, but the fighting's never stopped in Normandy. He said, that's right. I said, especially in the church. And you're having major problems in the church. And people are fighting. I said, but God's doing it. Anyway, I gave him the word of the Lord, and when it was all over, he turned around and he spoke to me and told me a little what was going on and said that it was exactly right. That he had gone to Normandy and he was supposed to be taking over this church. And 4 years later, the pastor decided he wasn't going to retire after all. He's going to, and he began to blackball this guy and make all kinds of accusations about him and basically kicked him out of the church that he was supposed to be the pastor of. And so it was just tremendous. That was just one of the instances. But we had a tremendous time. Oh, then on Tuesday, we met with the other leaders of his other churches that weren't there on Sunday, and we ministered to every one of them too. So I probably prophesied over 130 to 150 people during that time. I was in the 3 weeks I was in France. They wore me out, to be honest with you. We came home and had a few days rest, and it was good that I did. But anyway, that's that. That was really tremendous time with the Lord. And there, we're going back in May again next year, and just and this time we may be, well, actually last time we did speak to some Arab Christians, ex-Muslims, and this time we go back, we'll be speaking to some charismatic Catholics and Arab Christians, ex-Muslims, and be speaking to them and to some of these same churches once again. So we're really looking for a tremendous time in God. So just kind of keep that in prayer for us, okay? Because we really are believing for a tremendous move of God. Also, last time I was here, I'm pretty sure it was the last time I was here. I didn't have Nancy with me, but last time I was here, after I got done ministering, Oscar and Jim and Clyde came up and prophesied over me. And one of the things that they prophesied was that God was going to begin to send me out more. Well, that's happening. Right now, we are in the process of, I'm going part-time at the school when I'm home type thing, okay? And I'll explain a little bit more about, when I'm home, I'll be working part-time at the school, and the rest of the time I'll be doing other things. But one of the things that I'm doing is I am going to be traveling. And so when Jim sent me a message and said it's about time for us to come back up here, Nancy reminded me of that prophetic word, and we decided we were going to come up here and have, since you guys were the ones that prophesied that over me, and actually I told Nancy over 2 years ago I felt it was time, and then you guys prophesied that over me, that we felt like we were going to come up here and let you guys help launch us out. We're here this weekend. We go home. We drove up just for this weekend. And then on September 12th, we'll be going to back into Ohio, into Carrollton, Ohio, south of Columbus, ministering there on the 13th, then go up into Toledo, then into Canada, be in one, two, at least three different places, maybe four places in Canada, then down in Michigan, and then back home, be home for about a week and a half, maybe two, then I go to Brazil. Be in Brazil with Randy Clark and Bill Johnson, ministering there for about 8 days, 7 days, whatever it is. I think actually about 6 days of actual ministry, but the rest of the time is traveling to and from. And then back home and find out what God wants from there. In fact, maybe it's all tentative right now, but I may even be going to Lebanon. And that's not Lebanon, Missouri. That's the country. There is a Lebanon, Missouri. There's a Cuba, Missouri, a Lebanon, Missouri. Not that, but going to Lebanon, the country Lebanon, in November, very possibly. So we'll, that's still kind of in the air. So just kind of letting you know what's going on, and ask for your prayers. All right? Amen. In Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 is the account of Jesus, and I don't think I'm going to read it. It's the account of Jesus when he's 12 years old, and he's at the temple, Joseph and Mary, they go to Jerusalem, and they're in the temple, and they do their, I believe it was the Passover feast, and they take off, and they do a day's journey back, and they start looking for Jesus, and they can't find him, and I kind of wonder what Mary's doing. She's looking. They take another day back to Jerusalem, and then they spend 3 days looking around for Jesus there in Jerusalem. So that's 5 days without the Son of God. You know, I mean, how do you explain to God, I lost your son, you know? But there they are. 5 days, they can't find God's son. But anyhow, so there they are. They finally find him. And they start to, you know, what are you doing type thing. I mean, what every parent would be doing to their son at that point. Be frustrated, angry, and yet relieved all at once, you know. And finally they just, and Jesus just looks at them and says, didn't you know I would be about my Father's business? And that thought is something that has just been really stirring in my spirit for some time. Don't you know I would be about my Father's business? And I want us to understand that we are the children of God. Amen? Yeah. So therefore, everything we do, we should be about our Father's business. Now, in Israelite mentality and culture, a lot of times that whatever the father did, the son would grow up and take over the business, and they would become whatever the father was. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac became a shepherd. Jacob became a shepherd. Sons became shepherds. That was the way of life, okay? But I must be about my Father's business. Jesus taught us that when you pray our Father. He is our Father. We need to understand who our Father really is. So here we are. He is our Father, and we must be about our Father's business. Well, with that in mind, I began to think there are certain things that is a part of the kingdom of God that may or may not be a part of our normal lifestyle, okay? But what I'm going to look at for just a few moments is practicalities. How many of you understand there are certain practicalities that are natural practicalities, and there are some practicalities that are kingdom practicalities? Amen? Just to give an example, and I just thought of this one late last night. I actually looked it up this morning. Won't turn to it. Well, yeah, maybe I will. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And the children of Israel have come to the Canaan's land, and they sent in the spies and tried to, the spies came back and began to say, oh, no, there's giants in the land and all that. And Caleb and Joshua say, no, we can take it, we can go, and so on. And you guys know the story where they just turn on them, and they just say, no, well, we can't do it, and we should have gone back to Egypt, the land of milk and honey back there, and so on. And so God says, you're going to walk in the wilderness for 40 years. Because of all this, you're going to walk for 40 years in the wilderness until all the men of war die. Verse 39, then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. They rose early in the morning, went up to the top of the mountain, saying, here we are, we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. Now they're repenting. We've sinned. We'll go. We're going to go. Moses says, now why do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies. For the Lord is not among you. And you read the rest of the chapter there. That's exactly what happens. They go up and they fight and they die and they are defeated and they come back humiliated and so on. Now, it was God's word for them to go in and to take the land. But when they became discouraged and they said, no, we're not going to do it, then they turned around. And here's the point I want you to see. With natural practicalities, they said, okay, let's go. We'll go do it. Let's just go do it. God said we could do it, and so let's just go do it. And it failed. Because they were going to do what God wanted them to do, but they were going to do it in their own strength. They weren't doing it with the blessings of God. They were doing it in their own strength and their own abilities. Now, I read that and I say, well, they did at least repent. You know, we've sinned. They repented, but yet it wasn't, it wasn't enough. And God had already said, no, this is not going to work. And so here they are, natural practicalities. They decide they're going to go and they're going to do it, and they fail. Well, Joshua chapter 6. You guys know that story too. I'm just going to point out various stories here. Joshua chapter 6, they're in Canaan land. And Joshua comes before the Lord, and the Lord says, here's what I want you to do. You're going to march around the city of Jericho for 6 days. Everybody be quiet, no talking. Go around the city for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you go around it 7 times. The priest will blow the trumpet. You shout, and the city will be yours. Now, what's natural about that? How do you fight a battle that way? I can just see Israel marching around the city. They come around the city the first day, and all the people of Jericho up on the walls, and they're looking down at the people, and they're, get ready, they're going to come anytime. And then Israel goes back to camp. Huh. I guess we scared them off. The second day, they march around, and hey, you know, and they each day they get more bold to in criticizing and humiliating Israel and all that. And finally, the seventh day they march around and hey, here they go again. They're about to go back to wait a minute. They're going again and again. And the seventh time, what, something different this time? And then all of a sudden, all they do is shout, and the walls come down. That's kingdom practicalities. See, the other is natural. I'm going to do this. God said we could do it, so I'm going to do it. God says, no, that's not the way it's going to be done. It's going to be done this way. But that isn't the way you wage a war. That isn't the way you do things. But it's kingdom ways. It's kingdom practicalities. Okay? Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 31. Jesus is speaking here, and they've asked him when he's going to come in his glory and when the end of the age is and all that. I'm just going to pull out a few verses. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Now, this one's a little bit different. Because here we find that the people are doing something that is natural, and it looks like it's just a natural thing, and yet God says that's a kingdom thing. It all has to do with the attitude of heart. It all has to do with the purpose behind it. Okay? The other day I was in Walmart, walking towards Walmart, and I had just gotten out of the car and started walking towards the door. And this lady comes walking up to me, and she says, sir, can you help me? Says, I just don't know what to do. Said, I've been asking people if they can help me. My car is sitting over there in the Casey's lot. I need some gas, and I just can't do anything. And it's sitting over there, and nobody seems to be able to help me. And she's going on and on. I reached in my pocket, and I pulled out $20, and I gave her. I said, here, will this help? Thank you, you know. And I pulled out another card, which we have done at the church. We've got these little cards that we carry around with us, like a little business card. And it says this on it. This random act of kindness has been brought to you by the love of Jesus. And on the back of it, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's no name on it. There's no church name on it. It's just God loves you. And we just decided we're going to do this. And so we've been just telling people. In fact, we've been giving people money and say, go find somebody to give it to. Amen? Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I mean, you have to obey God. But what I'm saying is, here he is, that he says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. There was something that happened in your spirit. There was something that happened in your life that when you saw these people in this condition, you responded. There was an empathy in your spirit. There was something inside of you that began to react towards the need of someone around about you. And because of that, that is kingdom practicalities. Now you look at it as though it is natural. Well, it's just natural. It's just something they had a need, and so I just fit. No, that's kingdom practicalities. That's the way the kingdom of God works and operates in your heart and in your life. Amen. In the next chapter, oh, this is a good one, chapter 26, verse 6. Let me just give just a few words here and you'll understand the story. When Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? This fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not always have. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." Practical. He was about to go to the cross. He was about to be crucified for all mankind. And she came in, and we could even say led by the Spirit, but she came in and she took that alabaster box, she opened it up and began to pour it on his head. And I believe another translation even says, or another gospel even says, and on his feet. She began to anoint him with that fragrant oil that began to just, the odor just began to fill the room. And different ones were all upset. Well, look, you know, she should have sold that and given the money to the poor. That's natural practicalities. You sell it, you give it to the poor. You take care of the poor. Natural practicalities. And Jesus turns around and says, no. You don't understand. She's anointing me for burial. That again is natural practicalities, but the kingdom practicalities of it is a form of worship and adoration of Him. And whenever anything goes in your life, if you begin to worship and adore Him, there's something that begins to transpire inside of you, and you begin to find kingdom practicalities taking over in your heart and in your life. Amen. Anybody with me here? Okay. Mark chapter 4. Interesting little statement of Jesus here. Mark chapter 4 and verse 28. "The earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head." That's all I'm going to read. But notice what it says. The earth yields crops by itself. Can I change this around just a little bit? The earthly man produces earthly things all by himself. Hello. Your carnal nature produces carnality all by itself. We don't have to struggle with it. We don't have to worry about it. It just happens. Amen? I mean, did you ever teach a little kid to lie? Of course not. Of course not. Did you ever have to teach a little kid to throw a temper tantrum? Of course not. It just happens that earthly man, the carnal nature, produces all on its own. Well, guess what? There is a Holy Spirit inside. And by the way, that's natural practicalities, okay? But there's a Holy Spirit inside of you that also produces all by himself. He begins to produce kingdom practicalities. He begins to produce things in there inside of us. And we begin to grow and grow and we begin to see the things of God taking place in our lives. And we don't see how it does it. We don't see how it grows. In fact, there's been many, many times that we, one of the the blessings that I get in my traveling is I might not go to a place for a year, 2 years, something like that, and go back to that place, and I see someone, and I start talking to them, and I begin to realize how much they've grown in that year or 2 years, and the spiritual growth in them, and so on. But they don't see it. When we lived in Toledo, Ohio, we had a house that had a number of peach trees on it, and the people before hadn't taken care of them, and so I started cutting them all back, and actually had to cut a couple of them down. There was five of them to begin with, and I ended up cutting two of them down. The people who hadn't taken care of them, they just died, so I began to spray them a little bit to kill some of the insects that were destroying the trees, and began to care for them, and so on, and began to produce. And you know, I could go out in the morning in springtime and look, and well, the trees, green leaves are coming. Go out a couple of days later, wow, that tree is it's full of leaves. And then, whoa, hey, there's little buds there. And then next thing I know, well, there was peaches on it. And how did they grow? How did they come out like that? It just seemed like just boom, there they were. And that's what happens. The things of God begins to come into your spirit and in your life. And when you let Him begin to have control of your life, all of a sudden things begin to grow inside of you. And the kingdom of God begins to become practical. And the kingdom of God begins to grow, and you begin to see new things begin to take place in your heart and life. All on its own. The earth yields crops all by itself. The kingdom of God, if you give Him an opportunity, the Holy Spirit will do the same thing inside of you, okay? Mark 6. Jesus has been teaching. Is that Mark 6 or Matthew? I think I got a... Oh, it is right. Jesus has gone aside, and he's in a desert place, and the people are there. And verse 35, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away. Send the people away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Now, that's pretty practical, isn't it? I mean, if you have 5,000 people, 5,000 men, not counting women and children. It's pretty practical. Send them away. Let them go buy some food somewhere. Okay. Marge was talking about having a potluck dinner here. What Sunday is that? Next Sunday? In 2 weeks. Okay, in 2 weeks. And how would you like it if you ladies came and you're expecting just about this many people, and you go in and you sit up, and all of a sudden you have 5,000 people standing outside? You know, I mean, men, not counting women and children, and they're out in the two parking lots here. You're even taking over the Indian parking lot over there, and they're all around, and you got about 10,000 people all together, and they're coming expecting you to feed them. How would you feel about that? Would you invite them in? Well, actually, you couldn't put them all in here, so you probably have to take the food out there. But practicality, what would you do? Oscar, you'd better send them away. We haven't got that much food. Send them away. Tell them to go. There's a Walmart or Myers or something somewhere that they got to go. You know, no, we've been here all day teaching them. You feed them. That's kingdom practicalities. Oh, Brother Roy, that doesn't work anymore. A number of years ago, when I was a little boy, I was sitting in my living room, and my dad's brother was there. And he had, in fact, the matter is, I've probably only seen him once or twice more in my life. But he was talking to my dad, and he said to him, he said, the uncle had gotten saved and was working homeless shelter, working in a place where they feed a lot of people, the homeless, and so on. And he said to my dad, he said, "You know the story of Jesus multiplying the bread and the fish?" My dad says, "Yeah." He says, "I want you to know it still happens." He said, "We prepared soup for 100 people. We had 250 show up. We fed all of them and had some left over. It still happens. Kingdom practicalities. The things that we look at so many times can be kingdom, but they can also be just plain natural. And, like the storm, the disciples are out on the boat. In fact, it's the same chapter. He makes his disciples get in the boat, and they begin to go. And as they're going, the storm comes up, and they're rowing hard, trying to get to land. And all of a sudden, they look, and here's Jesus walking on the water. Natural, you're rowing hard. Natural, you're trying to obey God, trying to get where Jesus told me to go. But I'm doing it in my natural abilities. And Jesus just begins to walk on the water. And one of the Gospels even says it like he was going to just walk on right by him. Until they yelled at him. Just made as though he's going to keep on going. When we're having kingdom practicalities, the storms don't bother us. We walk on top of them. The storm doesn't affect us when we walk in kingdom principles, when we walk in kingdom life. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, I want to read this because it really applies. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Now listen to what he says. "For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." That's what makes the difference. Whether it's kingdom or natural practicalities, is being careful to know it's the things of God or the things of man. Okay? All right. I am going to quit real quick here. I'll give one more. In the book of Acts, chapter 1. Book of Acts, chapter 1. Verse 20, Peter is speaking. He says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office.'" They're talking about having somebody take over the place of Judas Iscariot, who had killed himself. Okay, and he says, "That's what the word says. We're supposed to do that." Okay, so they chose Matthias. They cast lots, and they chose Matthias. That was the natural way. That was the natural thing. They're trying to do what the word says, but they're trying to do it in their own way. Later on, we find Jesus looking down and seeing a man going to kill and to destroy Christianity and to pull Christians out of their homes and so on and to kill them. A man by the name of Saul, and God looks and says, "I want that one." See, the disciples cast lots. He says, "Well, let's get Matthias. He's been with us. He's been working with us, and he's heard, and he knows all these. We'll get him, and we'll choose him, and that'll be the one to replace the one." Like the Bible says, it's supposed to replace somebody, and God just says, "No, no, no. That's natural practicalities. This is my practicalities." He picks this one, and I'm going to just quit there because I want God to move. Amen. I want us to see, this is a thing that's been just kind of going over in my spirit for the last couple of weeks. This is just something that's just been birthing. In fact, this is the first time I've even spoke of it, of this. But I want you to understand that there are both natural practicalities and spiritual practicalities. And sometimes they are of God. Sometimes we're doing it and God is there. I was in a prayer service here a couple of weeks ago, about a week ago Friday, I think it was. And this lady was standing up, and she was talking about some of what they're doing. And she said she went over to this place called, she has She's in charge of a breadbasket type thing where they're feeding the destitute and so on, and they give out clothes and all these different kinds, all different kinds of things. And she said they got called by this company called Kaleidoscope. I don't know if you have a Kaleidoscope up here or not, but it's a tattoo place and a place for all kinds of erotic art and all kinds of stuff like this, and called this woman up and said, I understand that you're feeding the poor and you're caring for the poor. Well, I have a burden. I'd like to do that too. And so I'd like to talk with you. We'd like to join together with you and to see if we can somehow have a bigger effect in the city of Springfield. So this Christian woman went over and was talking to her. And as she was relating the whole story of what had happened, she said she's sitting there listening to this other woman explain what she wanted to do, and she began to realize that this woman was being led by God to do something from God that she didn't even know, a God that she wasn't even serving, but God himself was laying it on her heart. Some of the things that we do just because, well, I just want to do that, but it's God ordained. Other things we do, we try to do for God. I'm trying to do this for God, so maybe I can get points with God. Okay, you know, I mean, we got all these reward programs. You know, you get points, air miles. Well, I want to get air miles to go to heaven. No, no, it's not that kind of program. But the things that we do with the heart to see God glorified. All right? This random act of kindness is brought to you by Jesus Christ, who loves you. Amen. And that's something that we've got to understand. Amen. I enjoyed the praise and worship this morning, by the way. I enjoyed that. That horn was really great. I really liked that horn. That was fantastic. Amen. You love the Lord? Yes, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I see potential. I see great potential here in the church. I see great potential in the things of God. God has ordered and has ordained. And I understand that there, as I look around, I see there's not a whole lot of what we would call young people here. But God says, don't worry about that. I'm going to bring them in. There are those that God has ordained, and I believe with all of my heart that in the coming days, even this in the next 6 months, God's going to begin to move and begin to draw other families with children, young people, teenagers, and children, and he's prepared your hearts to even be able to take care of them. There's some kingdom practicalities that God's going to begin to work inside of you and in your heart and in your lives to begin to reach out to them and begin to see them come in. And God is going to begin to move upon you in many different ways, even as you're going to work or at work, whatever you're doing, where you can begin to reach into the heart and lives of those that are struggling, those that are in need, and begin to reach them for the kingdom of God. And God's going to give some of you some great opportunity to begin to really speak into their lives and begin to help them. And the Bible talks about the disciples went out, God bearing them witness. He was bearing them witness with signs, wonders, miracles. And God is going to give some of you some miracles and some signs and wonders that as you go and you begin to see someone that is in need, some of it is going to be practical things and some of it is going to be just getting out there and just doing something in God and just declaring the things of God. Amen. And the Lord just keeps reminding me of this, so I'll just share this with you. About a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I was going into Sam's Club, and as I'm walking down between the cars to go towards the door, I saw ahead of me a woman coming from another row of cars was coming over, and she was in front of me heading towards the door, and all of a sudden I saw her just stop and turn around and look and run back. So I walked around the row of cars to see what was going on, and here was this man laying on the ground, and I found out later it was this woman's father, and he was laying on the ground. He had fallen over, and he was having what looked like an epileptic seizure, though she said he never had epilepsy. I didn't walk up and ask for permission. I didn't walk up and declare who I was. I just walked up. He's laying on the ground, and he's shaking, and he's turning beet red and foaming a little bit at the mouth and all that. I just spittle coming out, and I just looked, and I just reached down like this, and I just, in the name of Jesus, I just speak health right now and healing, and I just declared the power of God to come into his body and to heal him. About the time I finished praying, another man came up and knelt down beside him, put his hand underneath his neck and held his head there and began searching for pulse. And so we found out he was a doctor and was right there. And he began to do what doctors do and so on. And the man began to just sit up. No, 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 no. Lay down. Lay down. I'm fine. I'm fine. No, no, no. Lay down. Lay down. You just stay there. We've called 911, got an ambulance. You just stay there. You might be have some other internal injury. It might be, no, 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 I'm fine. He started to get, no, about four or five times they pushed him back down. Finally, serious. Finally, he said, I'm fine. And he sat up, and they finally let him sit up. But that was it. He still was a little glassy-eyed, wasn't sure exactly where he was and all that. But something had happened in him. And I tell you that story, this is just about a week and a half ago, and I'm telling you that story not to give any glory to me, but to let you know you might be going to Sam's someday. You might be going to Walmart. Do you have Sam's here? You got Sam's here, don't you? Okay, or Costco, or Myers, or you might be going into a grocery store, Kroger's, or someplace, and all of a sudden you see somebody in need, and God just, you just begin to walk over. Don't even think about it. You just do it. Oh, I don't know. I mean, what if God doesn't hear him? What if he does? If you don't go, it won't. But if you do go, it might. In fact, you have a much, much greater chance of it being happening. Amen. And God wants to stir some of you into understanding that there is a power and authority inside of you that you don't know you have. There is a power and authority inside of you that God wants to draw out of you. And sometimes you're too tired or you're too weary or you're too afraid or you're too, well, I don't know, God might not. Is this really God or not? And we begin to worry about it so much that the moment just passes us by and we find out that, oh, that was God. I should have. I wonder how many of Israelites, when they heard the word from Moses, say, well, because of your disbelief and because you won't go in, you're now going to march around for 40 days. I wonder how many of them, I knew it was God. I knew we should have gone. But we didn't. It's too late. And I'm reminded of the story of the man who was saying he was in a Walmart or Home. I said I was going to quit, didn't I? I'll be done in a minute. He was doing some shopping and every time they're calling back and forth, did you get this? Yeah, did you get that? And every time they would say, well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then they get up to the counter and there's this woman up there and she's just really kind of like this, you know. And one of the guys says to her, says, ma'am, are you okay? She says, I've just got a bad headache. And he says to her, he says, well, can we pray for you? And before she has a chance to say no, the other guy had walked up and just laid his hand on her. In the name of Jesus, I command this thing to be gone. And the woman says, no. And he looks at her and he says, too late, it's already done. And he says, I guarantee your headache is gone. She said, you're right. It's gone. He says, because Jesus loves you. And if you forget everything else that I've said, I want you to know Jesus loves you. And he has put something inside of you that is far greater than anything that you could ever think of or do in the natural. We have all kinds of things that we can do. But when we let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us, things begin to happen in a great way. Amen? Amen. So some of you, I could even pick out a few of you, but some of you, I want you to just start realizing you've got more inside of you than you think. You've got the ability to make a difference in the lives of people around about you. there's a Holy Spirit that lives inside of you that it just begins to grow all on its own. All on its own. I spoke last night. Help me with this, okay? Gary and Lois's daughter was there for just a little bit and then left when the meeting started. And I gave Gary and Lois a prophetic word, the daughter Heather. I gave a word for the little girl Hannah, and it's Dan and Heather. Yeah. And I said 3 months. In fact, I told him, I said, the Lord has shown me that they're just kind of complacent and they're just kind of doing their own thing right now. And both Gary and Lois are shaking their head, yes. And I said, 3 months. I give them 3 months, and God's got a hook in their jaw and is about to bring them in. So I want to hear. If we don't hear from Gary in 3 months, I want to hear from Gary. Amen. I believe with all my heart, God wants to move some of you. He wants to take what's inside of you and draw it out of you so that the kingdom of God begins to be manifest to others. There is a presence of God inside of you, young man. And God loves you very much. And He has a call on your life. And you will declare the word of the Lord in a prophetic manner. You will speak the things of God, and the Lord will begin to confirm those things through many different ways. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm trying to be... I just see in some of you so much of what God is wanting to do to make a difference in your communities. Oh, but Brother Roy, we just come to church. That's the problem. We just enjoy the music and the worship, and we enjoy the teaching, and when Oscar or Jim or whoever is teaching, we just enjoy that, and it's just so good, and that's all that we are. No, that isn't all that you are. You're the sons and daughters of the living God. Well, but I'm too old. No, you're not. No, you're not. Are you breathing? If you're breathing, you've got an ability to do something in God. Maybe I better quit with that, huh? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You can give a big word.
I am giving you my glory that you might see the glorious people that I've called you to be. I am giving you my love that you might share, that the world would see that I truly care. And when the world sees, they will share and they will care. And it will bring about a new heaven and a new earth to bear.
Mm-hmm.
For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I desire to pour out the abundance of my love.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. I'm just going to quit. Okay. I just believe God has some tremendous... I see some of you ladies in particular that are sitting there thinking, I can't do anything. I'm not... No, 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 no. First of all, remember there's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. Okay? Amen. And when the Bible talks about a son, it's because it's talking about maturity. It's not talking gender. It's talking maturity. And some of you are sitting there saying, well, I'm just this and I'm just that. No. He is all of that. Just let Him be who He is. And He will change your life to reveal His glory. A tremendous, tremendous word we just heard. Now, I'd like for my wife to come up here. And by the way, we have a friend that drove an hour and 20 minutes to get here. Be sure and just greet her. She lives somewhere in Ohio, Mechanicsburg, wherever that is, or something. And she came just to spend, just be in service with us today and to be with you. So I just appreciate her, and I want you to just greet her on your way out, okay? Melissa, that's her name. And so anyway, brother, just turn over to you. I believe with all my heart, like we said, that you guys spoke a prophetic word about us going out. And that's what's going to happen. That's what we are about to do, is to start traveling a lot more. And so we want to be sent. I don't believe in just going. Okay? There are people who went, then there are those who were sent. I want to be sent. And I've already been, we've been prayed for in Springfield from two different churches, our Christian, our own church plus a sister church. But I believe with all my heart that you guys were the ones that prophesied to us about this. And so we want an impartation from you to see the things of God.
I'm glad that you said that, because as I was standing up there this morning, I was thinking I was going to call you guys up at the end, and that we were going to lay hands on you and pray on you. So everybody wants to come on, come right ahead.
August 24th.
Praise the Lord.
2015. Wings Christian Fellowship.
For surely, my son, I would say to you this day, I am thrilled even at your obedience to my word. And I would say unto you that as you go forth, you shall go forth in the anointing and the power of my Holy Spirit, and it shall even be an astounding anointing, an astounding word that shall come forth out of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I shall say to you this day, that fret not about the doors being open, for I shall open the doors. For when I open a door, no man can close it. And I shall begin to sling the doors wide open as you go forth. And I shall send you places that you never thought you'd ever go. And I shall send you to people that you thought you'd never, ever speak to, saith the Lord. For surely I desire to use you, and I shall use you both. And I've called you together, and you're not unequally yoked. You're equally yoked, and I shall place an anointing on you both. You shall speak forth my word, and you shall speak forth it in power and in might, and the captives shall be set free. And I would say unto you this day that I do love you, and I appreciate your obedience, saith the Lord. And I shall even cause even the abundance of even the finances shall begin to flow to enable you to do these things. For surely I shall open the windows of heaven and cast upon you a blessing that cannot be even be contained, saith the Lord. For surely my spirit is upon you, and it shall increase and shall increase and shall increase as you release, and you release. And surely I shall begin to move mightily in your midst. And Father, I send them forth with the anointing and the presence of your spirit. We release them into all that you've called them for. We thank you for Brother Roy and Nancy, Father. We thank you for the blessing he's been to us over the years. I've always sat with anticipation, waiting to hear from you whenever he came, because I knew that you would give him a timely word for us. And I will tell you this, Brother Roy, I spoke to the people last week about mistaken identity. Mm. And it was not what they do in the natural, but it was who God said they are.
Amen.
And the word that you spoke today was actually a confirming word to even what the Lord gave me for them last week. Because I began to tell them they need to go forth and be obedient to the Holy Spirit and move when he tells them to move and do what he tells them to do. And I just thank you. I just want to encourage you.
Amen.
That word was for us today.
Thank you.
Father, in Jesus' name right now, we just speak a special blessing and a special anointing upon their lives. And Father, let them not fret about other family members or what's going to happen as they go forth. But Father, you've got them right in the center of your hand.
Amen.
And no man can pluck them out of your hand.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. And amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
Even as you begin to speak this morning, the Lord started talking to me while I was sitting out there about kingdom authority. Mm. About kingdom authority. And he wanted me to assure you this day, don't think that Wings Christian Fellowship in Cincinnati has anything to do with this. But it's from the kingdom authority, saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's from his presence, saith the Lord. His living, abiding presence that you go forth. You go forth under his kingdom authority. And it is in that kingdom authority, saith the Lord, that you shall walk and not faint, saith the Lord. You shall not be tired, and you shall not even have to take a rest, saith the Lord. For my power shall overcome you, saith the Lord. And it shall guide you and lead you in all things. And even the doors that would close, saith the Lord, they shall be shook open, saith the Lord. Because wherever thou put thy sole of thy feet, saith the Lord, they shall know that they know. This is kingdom authority. And they shall call upon me, saith the Lord, and you shall be glad, and they shall be glad that they're in the house of the Lord. Amen. Saith the Lord, saith the Lord, saith the Lord. It is my kingdom authority. And it is well within my soul, so it shall be well within yours, saith the Lord. And Nancy, worry not no longer about your family, because they are my family, saith the Lord. And I shall raise them up and lead them and just hold on to them, and none of them shall be plucked out of my hand, saith the Lord. So I shall keep them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, a few weeks ago, I got a chance to speak, and the Lord confirmed this word. He kept bringing this word to me from different places. Different people were saying it to me. And as I was waiting on the message that he wanted to give me, I thought, this doesn't go with the message that you've given me. But that word was for you, I realize now. And that word that he spoke to me from so many different places was the word adventure.
Amen.
And he's going to take you on an adventure. And just like any adventure you ever would read about, there'll be ups and there'll be downs. But he's got you through every step of that adventure.
Yeah, man.
And what could be better than going on an adventure with the King of Kings?
Amen. Amen.
And letting him lead the way and provide the needs, the supplies. So just be prepared for a great adventure. He's prepared you for it. And he'll keep you through it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Many, my son, are in the valley of indecision.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them believe in my son, Jesus Christ, but they have never decided to take on his life. And they are as dead bones. And even as I said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he said, only you know, Lord. Mm-hmm. And I said, go prophesy. Go prophesy. And the bones started rattling.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord would say that they still have their grave clothes on, son. They're like Lazarus. They don't know that they've been clothed with the righteousness of my son, Jesus Christ. For there is a stone that keeps them from coming forth, a big stone. And it's called the stone of the law. And I have called you to go forth and preach a word of grace and a word of love, that the stone might roll away and that you can take the grave clothes off of them and put the new clothes on them, son. And there are two types of ministries that you spoke of this morning, and that word was spoken to you first, son.
Mm-hmm.
There is Martha ministry. When she heard I was coming to the tomb of Lazarus, yes, she ran. But it says that Mary sat still. And Mary was the one that I spoke to and said, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And my son, if you will sit still and not run after all the other voices,
amen,
but be still and know, be still and know, you will see the glory of God, you and your wife, says the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen.
We got to go to Florida on vacation a couple weeks ago, and it was nice to look out into the sea and to see how endless it is. And right now, I'm seeing waves from wherever you're going, from Brazil, Lebanon, Michigan, wherever. I'm just seeing the waves of your impact all over the world.
Amen. Amen.
Roy and Nancy, I'm seeing a clarity of path and a unity of vision for both of you. And particularly for Nancy, I'm seeing her mouth being open and taking more of a leadership role in the whole thing. And I just want you to know that the Lord has you both in the palm of your hand, and you are a couple who He loves, and He will bless, and He will give you unity of vision.
Amen.
I'm only doing this because the time is now.
My message of love is in you, because I'm the Prince of Love and I'm in you. And as I come forth to the world will be changed. Changed in a new and dramatic way. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you're doing this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
It's not just the spoken word that I am sending you forth, but it's the engrafted word that can save the soul.
Yes.
Therefore, I am going to speak through you from the engrafted word so that you may keep that word, and though you may wonder at times, that word will give you life.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Bless you. I really appreciate that. You want to say anything? Let me say one more thing real quick. One of the things that has happened that has confirmed to me that this is really of God, we just stepped out in faith. But we drove up here. We left Friday, drove up to Terre Haute, I think, and then from there on in yesterday. And Nancy was getting ready. We were getting ready for the service last night at Gary's. And she said, you know what? She says, every time I've ever traveled with you, she said, I've always struggled. I've had lots of pain. I don't have. She says, I don't have any more pain right now than I would have if I was still at home.
Amen.
And in fact, maybe even a little less. And so I just said, thank you, Jesus. Because we just basically are just stepping out in faith and believing, and just told the Lord she's got to be healed to travel. So He's done. Oh, by the way, she's had chronic Lyme for 43 years. It's gone.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
God has healed her.
Amen. Amen.
It's gone. Amen. Thank you.
Look what you've learned. You learned to carry a recorder.